American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Thursday, November 10th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Grand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this broadcast, you are too! You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can currently get to my live journal by going to Sean_KennedyLikeTheDeadGuy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And do not forget that you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. So, let's get into some feedback. Dear Sean, about the Paris riots. Now, this is in regards to the Paris riots. For those of you who have been living under the rock the last few days, I guess about 12 or 13 days ago, a couple kids got electrocuted and in the entire city of Paris took a shit. So the French suburbs and all this kind of area, there's like thousands of cars, people being arrested, everything's gone completely hawk all over the place. So this feedback says, okay, so what's the chance this is all orchestrated by the New World Order using their network of insurgents that they seem to have in the Muslim society to create an escalating crisis that will be used as an excuse to impose martial law in France and elsewhere? In order to do that, they would have to orchestrate riots somewhere else, occurring almost simultaneously. That's from No Delete. Well, No Delete, I gotta tell you, your tinfoil hat is on too tight. Please make sure when you're wearing your tinfoil hat that you do have enough space for two fingers. Two fingers must be able to stick on the inside of your tinfoil hat at all times. Otherwise, well, you know, the tinfoil hat is tied on too tight. I'm sorry, I cannot, like, okay, now, I'm not a screaming conspiracy nut. Okay, I may appear to be a screaming conspiracy nut, but unfortunately, I am not a screaming conspiracy nut, and I happen to not think that the Paris riots were orchestrated by, you know, insurgents that work for the New World Order. It could just be that, and as for these, you know, crazy Muslim insurgents, you know, I don't know, it could just be that, I mean, let's bear in mind that fundamentalist Muslims worship Iraq. Okay, let's make sure that we get that real crystal clear on that issue, okay? These people bang their head on the concrete pointing at a rock five times a day. So, now that's your faith and blah, 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 blah. But that's a fucking crazy thing to do, all right? I mean, that's a nutty-ass thing to do. How can you be so disrespectful to a culture? Well, I'm not, actually. I have no problem with the culture. The culture gave us books and art and written word and all this kind of stuff. I have a problem with religion on the whole, and it's not just the rock bangers. I'm talking about the whole meal deal. Dead guy on a stick crowd, you know, waiting for the new Jew crowd. I can't go for it, man. It's like, come on, guys, we got to get out of the mud hut and into the modern age here, okay? I'm sorry, the sky gods will not kill us. There is no sky god, okay? We got to get into this. Now, as for the insurgents that are planted within the Muslim world, there are quite probably... you got to bear in mind, when you're dealing with Muslim extremists, they're crazy. Okay, clearly they're nuts. So, you know, there's not, like, what we have here is a software problem. And there's, you know, you can't even begin to guess which direction these people are going to go in. You probably can if you study, you know, this craziness, this whole Islamofascist jihadi thing they got on the go there. You know, and incidentally, I'm thinking about changing the way we say jihad. I think we should call it a jihad. I really I don't think jihad is good. I think we should call it a jihad. Jihad, it sounds a lot better, I think. You can let me know what you think about that. But anyway, dear Sean, Ronan Sariot called the Marines army guys. Army guys! I triple dog dare you to call a jarhead an army guy. As an ex-Marine, I was offended. But only slightly, because I've been out of the Corps for over 10 years now. So I guess that kind of your offense level goes down the longer you've been out. But as they say, once a Marine, always a Marine. Well, actually, what he spelt that wrong. Actually, what he wrote here was, once a Marine, always a Marine. What he actually spelled. But I'm not going to nail him on spelling, because God knows my spelling is shit. Love the show. Keep up the work. And watch out for those vegan terrorists, which is true. And for those of you who have not been following along, SWAT Magazine recently regarded that. That's from Mainframe, by the way. But SWAT Magazine had an article where they listed vegetarians and vegans as loner extremists. You know, oh my God. They're going to, well, they're not going to beat us up because, you know, they don't weigh anything. And they're probably not going to, you know, shoot us or anything. Well, they could shoot you. I mean, I know a really good vegetarian vegan guy, real extreme straight edger who's really good with guns. But I don't really think that we need to be afraid of the Huna Huna Hula creepy hippie crowd. You know what I mean? Like, they're too busy holding hands, smoking weed, and singing Kumbaya to really be a threat, you know. The animal liberation guys, the let's free animals that could be diseased, kind of 28 days later crowd. Not so into those guys. Okay, can definitely think that a rifle shooter should be in place. Not that I'm in animal torture for cosmetics. You know, I think that's kind of stupid. Don't really like that much. You know, I think there probably should be some rules. But if the medical industry is doing research on animals, I can condone that. You know, but you know, hey, everybody's different. Everybody's got their own viewpoints. And thank God that the ones with the really, you know, left-wing viewpoints aren't the ones who are into guns. So, dear Sean, on Friday, when you were discussing magic and creating fireballs for conjuring demons, well, what I was discussing there was my pursuit into the occult was the pursuit, my own personal pursuit, of looking for the magic spells that did that. Because let me tell you, if they existed, I would have found them. This is just a form of telepathy and telekinesis and pyrokinesis all. You know, that's all it is. It's telepathy, telekinesis, pyrokinesis. Okay, so you create a fireball in the air, use your telekinesis to send it forwards. I don't know what you're using your telepathy for, but that's okay. There have been studies done on each of these phenomena with no conclusive results. But I put it to you that our myths of wizards, magicians, and alchemists from the Dark Ages and other areas of the world are true to a certain extent. Well, I actually can't find very many myths of wizards and stuff like that as we understand in the constant fantasy setting. Because that's generally born from Tolkien. But anyway, not that they knew magic, but it was the way that appeared to everyone else. These people were just scientists that understood their surroundings more than anyone else. But what if it was more than that as well? What if they achieved a state of evolution of the mind to achieve the aforementioned mental abilities? If you think about it, think about it. Just think about it. You could conjure up an image that everyone would like to see, like a demon. The demon would have a substance by way of telekinesis, and that would be able to ravage a person's body. Okay, that'd be a lot of mental energy going on here. The fireballs are nothing more than pyrokinesis. The people that would probably most likely achieve these states would be those who dedicate their life to enlightenment. Well, generally, people who are enlightened don't throw fireballs. Enlightened, no fireballs indoors. Definitely an outside toy. These people are pacifists in nature. Not because they don't want to fight, not because they can't fight, but because they are beyond fighting, they are above it. Well, hell yeah, if you can throw fireballs, you're definitely above fighting. In result, if an enlightened person with these abilities would be less likely to be noticed through evolution, though evolution is never perfect. These are my thoughts. I don't firmly believe this, but this is my theory. It is something to look at when someone goes looking for magic. They're never going to achieve it if they're looking for magic. What they ought to be seeking is enlightenment. Well, what I was after was the scroll that you read that gives you the ability to cast fireballs. I'm not interested in 10 years. I don't want a degree. I didn't want a doctorate. Okay, I didn't want any of that shit. All I wanted to do was to throw a couple components out, maybe drink a magic potion, wiggle the fingers, and fawooshka, I've got a 30-foot tongue of flame extending from my fingertips. That's what I was after. Did I find it? No. And incidentally, I can find no modern recording since the ability of man to start begin recording, nor evidence in history of people casting fireballs. Never heard of it, not even in legends. Even the Shaolin never cast fireballs. I have heard of people knocking people over without touching them. I've heard of some chi powers and stuff like that, but I have never, ever find any accounts of people casting fireballs, nor have I seen people conjuring demons or raising armies of zombies unless you get into, like, the Bible. And God only knows the accounts you can find in there. But that's just me. Dear Sean, I can't believe you. So what? The cop should arrest someone just because they're, in his experience, that type of person commits a crime. So let's just throw them in jail before he can commit a crime. Now, what this person's going off about is about my story from the other show there, where I was talking about in Madison for the fourth year in a row. a Halloween celebration on State Street ended up with police unleashing pepper spray on the crowd. But a departure from previous years, the police didn't wait for revelers to turn violent before taking action. Now, you got to understand that for the last 3 years, they got together, formed crowds outside, everybody got rowdy, and then they tore the shit up. Every year. This is the drill. They get together, they go get drunk, they go outside, they fuck up the city. Next year, get together, get drunk, go outside, fuck up the city. Okay, and, you know, this isn't police brutality, this is basic powers of observation. The cops are there, they're in riot gear, they're like, hey, you know, if I show up and I'm at a party, you know, and I go outside at the party, and there happens to be a line of riot police, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, would you look at that, riot police, and then go back inside the party. No, I leave. I GFO, get the fuck out. If the riot police are there, you leave. The party is over. Not only are the police there, but the police with the heavy plate mail are there. Time to go. Town guard, all that good stuff. But no, I guess these people seem to believe that, oh, wow. You know, now, this is just reality. People riot like this. But I'll finish going through this well-thought-out email here. Just one moment. You keep saying that cops are not bad people, yet they do things like this only to reinforce that fact. Well, actually, they don't. What they do, I'll finish the email. What happened to probable cause? What happened to our rights? I've heard a lot of people talk about human rights. I've never really seen any evidence of them, though. When I hear stories like this, it really makes me want to just give up. The government is screwing with us. We have no power. We have no power isn't an illusion to keep us in control. When I studied the U.S. history in the 1900s to 1940s, I felt better about the U.S. than I do now. Back then, patriotism was more than a catchphrase. No, it wasn't. It was a catchphrase back then, too. It's just you studied the history books, which, of course, is nothing more than your culture's propaganda. Back then, I would have been proud to go to war and kill Nazis. There was a purpose to it, to stop a psycho fuck. Well, you know, depending on who writes our history, you should be proud to go to this war, too, if you're going to follow what the history books say. Fast forward to now. I hate it. Every politician is in it for the yacht. Well, I got news for you. Everybody on the planet is in it for the yacht. It's about the dollar. This is reality. Sorry. Everybody's here for the money, and it's just how far into the dark side we're willing to go. How far are you willing to go in order to get it? That's what it's about. And then, you know, it comes to the whole thing of you are willing to do what others are unwilling to do, you will be successful. You know what I mean? And then, of course, you have the rules of your culture. That's why things like down in Africa, where people are selling women into slavery and crippling children and stuff like that, that's what they need to do. They have to go to that kind of extreme in order to be successful. Politics are for rich people that no longer care about making a difference. Yet, I have yet to see a president with our welfare in mind. Since I was old enough to understand the crap, back to the story at hand, when you agree to this kind of crap one way... When you agree with this kind of crap, one way or the other, without all the facts in mind, you are no better than the rest of the media. I'm going to let that statement stand on its own. Cops are your friends. No, they are not. No one has been nice to me. I was speech action in one of them, and never goes noticed. The law is what keeps us in control. It also keeps us safe from the cops like these. But like in all government circles, they will get away with it because comments like yours. Well... I completely endorse what the cops did there. If you have a group of people that are going to riot and you have experienced people on the ground, you know, it's like if a guy's holding a gun to somebody's head, you have to wait for him to pull the trigger? No! The cops made a judgment call and they followed it. I mean, grow the fuck up. Sorry, but that's just the way the world works, dude. I'm not really happy about it. I mean, without that, I mean, well, that's a thought crime. No, dude, if you look at the situation, it wasn't the one time. Now, this is totally different from that rave in Utah. It was a rave that had the license. Everything was there. It was all legit. Everyone was just dancing around, having a good time. All of a sudden, the riot police show up with the army and fucking shut everything down. Now, that was fucked. Okay, fucked right from the word go. But when everyone is there and, you know, the police are there... They've determined that there's something unlawful going on. You shouldn't be standing there saying, I've got the right to be here. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe you should not be there and should find out after the fact. You see what I'm saying here? Like, I don't get it. You know, I just don't get it. Further to that, why do you suppose those people were still there at 2 in the morning when in the last 3 years in a row there was a riot? Okay? It's like up here in Vancouver, in the Okanagan. We had this thing called Peach Fest, okay? Peach Fest was a great time. But guess what? Every year, the riots got bigger and bigger. People would go up there because, oh, we're going to get Trump and fuck up the city. Wow. They shut down Peach Fest. You see what I mean? And if they keep rioting like this, the party will get canceled. There'll be no parties anymore. And then, oh, then I guess everybody's rights get trampled. Like, listen, guys. Listen. There are things more important than you. Then when it comes to, okay, with your rights and stuff like that, yeah, we all have rights. Things like, you know, the police can't just come into your house and kill you and stuff. Okay, this is all based on human rights and the charter and all this kind of jazz, okay? But this isn't a rights issue, okay? This whole thing where this is like, that was a tactical call, okay? So I don't think your rights come into play with that scenario, you know? Sorry, you know, and if you happen to disagree with me, and you to stand there and be like, no, it's my right to stand here, blah, 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 blah. And the cops are like, time to go. And he's like, no, I'm not going to go. Well, you got to go because I'm an officer of the law. I'm asking you to go. Please go. If you don't go, I'm going to mace you. And you say, I'm not going. Well, you got maced. Thanks for calling. You know, whatever. Now then, on to an opinion. Now, dear Sean. Now, I know you made that post about you not being a god of Kit something recently. But yes, this is a Kit-based question. Oh, God, you people. My first is, how are those Maxpedition bags holding up? Very well, thank you. The Maxpedition bags have been holding up quite well. Like them very much. Okay? I know that the Fat Boy obtained a little damage, though repairable on the rear flap, but I'm unsure of how the Thermite's been faring. I actually plan to pick up both of them within the next week, so naturally I'm aiming to get a testimonial from someone who's had them both for a little while running now. Yeah, I like them. They're good. Don't machine wash them. You know, they definitely are pretty good stuff. I mean, they're a fair product on the market right now. The Maxpedition line has just exploded. There's a whole ton of stuff out there. But, Fenn, gotta tell you, yeah, it's not bad, kid. I think it's money well spent. That's just my take on it, though. I haven't done a lot of field time with it, okay? And I think that, you know, I prefer Eagle Industries stuff if I was going to buy stuff. But for the kind of bag that it is, that you kind of get, that doesn't look like it's totally psycho, yeah, it's a good bag. Now, in blog news, let's get into the news. In blog news, Democrats on Wednesday managed to defeat a bill aimed at amending U.S. election laws to immunize bloggers from hundreds of pages of federal regulations. In an acrimonious debate that broke largely along the party lines, more than three-quarters of congressional Democrats voted to oppose the reform bill, which had enjoyed wide support from online activists and web commenters worried about having to comply with the tangled skein of rules. This is one of the reasons why it's like online activism and web commentators, which equals sweet fuck all. You're doing nothing. Making noise online, you're screaming into the dark. I hate to tell you this, but it's the truth. Unless you can get people to do things in the real world, what happens online can be turned the fuck off. The vote tally in the House of Representatives, 225 to 182, is not enough to send the Online Freedom of Speech Act to the Senate. Under the rules that the House leaders adopted to accelerate the process, two-thirds supermajority was required. Good God. I'm horribly disappointed that this important measure failed to pass, said Republican Mark Kennedy from Minnesota. The bill was designed to protect free speech rights of Americans whose only alleged crime is wanting to use the Internet to express their opinions, which is true. Which is true. This bill should have been passed. I mean, there's no two ways about it, and it's kind of amazing to me that it wasn't passed, and I would wonder why, since clearly, you know, after all the noise that was made on this, it didn't seem to make the slightest lick of difference, but, you know, they wanted the right to make their noise. So I guess the fact that it didn't pass, they're worried about, you know, people making noise. This is a weird story. The Federal Election Commission is under court order to finalize rules extending a controversial 2002 campaign finance law to the Internet. Unless Congress acts, the final regulations are expected to be announced by the end of the year. They would cover everything from regulating hyperlinks to politicians' websites to forcing disclosures of affiliations with campaigns. Interesting. So, but, you know, by doing that, forcing disclosures to affiliations with campaigns, like if you think someone's not affiliated or is on the pay list for someone like George Bush or whoever's running against George Bush, then, you know, you might want to know because you might think that this guy's not on the payroll. You know what I mean? Opponents of the reform plan mounted a last-minute effort to derail the bill before the vote on Wednesday evening. Liberal advocacy group circulated letters warning the measure was too broad and would invite corrupt activities online. The New York Times wrote an editorial this week that the Internet would become a free fire zone without any limits on spending.
Well,
you know, that's the way the rest of the world is. You know, Representative Marty Meehan, the Massachusetts Democrat who opposed the bill, said during the floor debate, "We don't allow child pornography on the internet. We don't exempt it from consumer safety laws. We don't because we think that those laws are important. Campaign finance regulations should be extended as well," he said. Now, comparing this law to child porn, I think, is a bit of a stretch. A bit of a stretch. But, you know, I can kind of see where he's going with this. I guess we're going to see. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with the law, what the law actually states, but that's what came down. I guess the law didn't make it through. So now, the crying commences. Now, normally, I do not link to things that are like editorials and testimonials. But this is a report that I feel is probably pretty important. I've listed it under Gattaca News, but I probably could have put it as 1984 News or perhaps Cyberpunk Dystopian Max Headroom News, because this is just right out of control. And I'm going to read this. You can go to the site and read it yourself. But this is an account of something that has happened. My girlfriend and here are writers here in Toronto. This is in Canada, for those of you in the southern states. And I thought I'd share this if you need evidence that the privacy abuses are out of hand. Here is our completely insane experience with the MPAA from last night. I wonder what kind of dystopian cyberpunk future we live in when you're physically searched before entering a movie theater. Last night, November 3rd, my girlfriend brought me along to a screening of Derailed at the Paramount Theater in Toronto, which she had to review for a magazine she works for. The lineup for the screening was unusually long. I think they also feel seats at the press screenings with radio call-in winners who, in hindsight, might have accepted such poor treatment in exchange for the ostensible privilege of paying for $30 worth of parking and fast food and a free $13 movie. Anyways, the line was moving along slowly because they were asking customers to raise their arms so they could be electronically frisked, which means they swept a wand over them with a metal detector. Well, okay, so they're going to sweep you to make sure you haven't got any of the metal. And women's purses were being searched by uniformed security guards. Now, I'm not too sure that's actually legal in Canada to do that. Try to remember this is Toronto, Canada, we're talking about here. Not New York, Tel Aviv, or London. Well, you know, I fail to see how that has any bearing on anything, whether or not it's New York, Tel Aviv, or London. But anyway, people who submitted to the search, everyone from what I could tell, had their cell phones taken from them and checked at a table set up at the front of the theater. They were given a ticket to reclaim it when they left. Now, that's interesting. I was having none of this and checked the back of my ticket tub to ensure that there was no mention of being required to submit to a search listed on the conditions of sale. As my girlfriend and I made it to the front of the line, the guard looked at me, asked me to raise my arms for the search. I politely declined, saying, "No, thank you," and proceeded to the ticket taker. I could hear him call, "Sir, sir," behind me. But even though I slowed my pace in case he was really going to do something about it, as I had expected, I wasn't stopped. Now, this is interesting. This is kind of where we have to stop this here. Okay, this guy's entering a private establishment. Okay? So, at this stage, the guy could say, "Fuck you, you're not getting in." Why not? Because I'm going to make sure that you don't have anything dangerous. "Well, I don't have anything dangerous." "Sir, I don't believe you." "Well, I didn't know I'd have to do this." "Great, I'll refund you your money. Have a nice fucking day." You see what I'm saying? I don't think it's beyond the realm of reason to have someone who's running an establishment check to see if you're carrying weapons or something like that. If they just want to go and go over you like that, I don't think that's... I think you shouldn't have to submit, but you don't have to enter the theater either. This is a recreational activity. You can wait for the fucking DVD. They're the ones going to be losing money. You see what I'm saying here? The ticket taker took my ticket, and I waited for my girlfriend to get inside the gate. Her purse was being subjected to a thorough going through by one of the guards. Since she was there for work, her deadline was that night, she was not ready to risk not seeing the movie. Her 150 words won't have room for what happened next. Her phone was taken from her and put in a sealed plastic bag with a claim ticket, and she joined me where I was waiting past the gate, and we walked into the theater together. To add further insult to the debacle at the gate, let's be real, okay, so he's pissed off that they didn't let him take his phone inside because they're worried about camera phones catching the movie, I guess. Or something to that effect. Now, is this a big deal? I mean, personally, I'd kind of like it if they took phones away from people going into the fucking theaters so these assholes wouldn't keep getting phone calls during my movie. But, you know, I digress. Near the exit at stage right and left were two uniformed security guards at each door, all four with video cameras scanning the crowd and making themselves very conspicuous. Okay, so they're in there videotaping you, which is really no different from having a security camera in the theater, which a lot of theaters have. This was not just a bit of pre-show MPAA theater. They stood there for the entirety of the movie, red lights glowing and scanning the crowd to remind us that they were under that we were under close surveillance and our actions were being recorded. Yeah, that's some exciting footage, I'll bet. Bunch of guys staring at a screen. If you have sat in a chair in a dark room watching disturbing scenes unfold in front of you, while four uniformed people and a video camera stand in front of you, silently recording your reactions, you might be reminded of scenarios from A Clockwork Orange, Brazil, 1984, Videodrome, and strangely, that 90s relic SFW. Now, again, this is kind of, you know, I could see that, oh, I don't like that they're up there. Well, dude, yeah, but they're not doing anything wrong. I mean, these people have the right to do that as well. Do I think this is extreme? Yeah, definitely. Security guards regularly use... Now, this is where it starts getting to piss me off here. Security guards regularly use handheld video cameras to harass and intimidate people. Harass and intimidate with a video camera. Get back or I'll videotape you. No, that doesn't happen. Okay. They'll get out there and they'll videotape you because if you're doing shit wrong, like you're throwing rocks and stuff... It's handy after you get arrested to know who is throwing rocks and stuff. That would be honesty. Particularly during political rallies and protests, as the guards know the cameras carry with them a clear implication of future retribution against those being recorded. That's an interesting way of putting it. It could be, you know, that's an angle. You know, that they're going to be like, oh, these guys were at our rally and they were against us, so we're going to go get them. That's one option. Or it could be that if, you know, you want to make sure that in case a shot rings out or someone starts throwing rocks or, you know, drags a cop to the ground and starts stomping on his face, you know who the hell it was. Because what do you want to bet that these fine, upstanding individuals who do that sort of thing also lie about it? The cameras are, quite literally, a threat. Okay, at this stage, I'm looking at this guy writing this article and I'm going, you smoke crack. The threat is that if you do not behave as a camera holder asks... The recording of your actions will be used against you to persecute or disgrace you. Yeah. This is another person who's got his tinfoil hat on too tight. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I think being searched before you go into a movie theater is a little extreme? Yeah. Yeah, I do. If they want to do that, okay, I'd be like, because I'll tell you, if that's your mandate, right? If you're a security company, I'm in charge of operations training for one, I get a mandate. And they say, okay, you know, everyone's got to subject to a sweep. Okay, buddy, you're going to have to subject to a sweep. No, I'm not subjecting to a sweep. Okay, why aren't you subjecting to a sweep? You're violating my rights. Okay, then you're not getting in the theater. Understand that, but we now have the right to refuse you. Thanks, not coming in. Oh, well, private. It's private. Okay, you're not, like, well, I paid for this movie ticket. Did you now? Great, here's your money back. Thanks for calling. Go away. Well, I want to see the movie. Whoa! I want a golden shitter. You're not getting in. Have a nice life. You know, this kind of a whole mentality here. Now, the guy's like, we're scanning you. We're going to threaten you with video cameras. What the hell are you afraid of? I mean, this is paranoia here. What the fuck are you afraid of? Walk into a theater. You sit down. A bunch of assholes are filming you. Come in and sit down. Maybe you don't like it. Great. Get up and leave. Not a problem. You know, I'm going to wait for the DVD, or fuck it, I'm going to go home and download this shit. You know, I don't have to put up with this. So, you know, it's not like if you try to leave, they'll shoot you. That's not the case. These guys who talk about persecution, they need to take a look at some of these countries where real persecution happens and understand that, Canada's just not it. However, that said, do I think that that's a little extreme? I don't think that you have... I believe that you don't have the right to search women's purses. And if you wanted to make a federal case out of it, you probably could, and you could probably sue. And in this fucked up legal world we live in, you might even win that sucker. But for me, personally, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm looking at this story, and I think he's really overreacting to the fact that, you know, a lot of people are getting in there and filming these theaters. These guys want to take steps. Are the steps pretty extreme? Yeah. Yeah, they are. I guess they're trying to send a message, and they've definitely succeeded in doing that. Because when you read this guy's article he's written here, Jesus Christ, you think they were dragging people up back and shooting them. But which is simply not the case. Now, in drug news, one of the most influential groups is calling for the government to end the war on drugs is an organization of law officers that have a first-hand experience of its failings, according to the Albuquerque Tribune. The Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP, a lobby group against the war on drugs, is gaining attention because it has over 2,000 members that range from former police officers and prosecutors to judges. The group includes many high-ranking officials such as the previous New York City police chief and Gary Johnson, a former governor of New Mexico. It is estimated that the government has spent over $500 billion in the war against drugs. Members of LEAP all have first-hand experience and maintain that current police are having no effect. They argue that instead of sending drug users or sellers to jail, the government should focus its research resources on treatment. Supply cannot be stopped in a free market, but demands can be reduced through appropriate intervention. Well, I would just tax the living shit out of that, personally. You know, I mean, now we're just talking about weed here. I would legalize weed, tax the snot out of it. Thanks for coming out. This is, it's already been done in other countries, but we'll never see that happen because, well, organized crime stands to lose more, you know, a whole shitload of money. Despite massive budget and resources thrown at the problem, LEAP members point out that usage of methamphetamines is exploding throughout the country. Jack Cole, executive director of LEAP, says, "This is not a war on drugs, it's a war on people." Whiteout officials have accused LEAP of being misguided and irresponsible. Well, you know, I can see that the war on drugs, what's a drug here? Why is it caffeine in there? So I think what they should do is they should definitely get rid of the lingo, you know, the little catchphrase, war on drugs, you know. We need to get rid of that. What we need to do is you need to find out, okay, what are you calling a drug here? Okay, if you want to declare war on methamphetamines, say, or crack, or, you know, these drugs that, you know, openly kill people. You know, there's not too many people who are, like, hardcore meth heads that recover. Hate to say it, but especially with a lot of this new stuff we got floating around up here. I mean, a lot of these guys are fucked up. They're fucked up people. Do they deserve to go to jail? I don't think so. A lot of them haven't done, other than doing drugs and doing an illegal substance, they haven't really done a lot wrong. Some of them break into cars, at which point they're thieves. They would be thieves. Yeah, but they were high on drugs, and that doesn't matter. They're thieves. But they were high. I don't care if they're blonde, blue-eyed, batshit psycho. They're still thieves. You broke into my house to get my shit, and now you got arrested, so you're going to fucking jail. Have a day. Now, a drug offense, if you get busted with these drugs, right? You could do some stuff with rehab and all that kind of jazz. For sure. Now, if you're making the stuff, which means you're profiting by creating more meth zombies, you get to die. That's how that works. You get checked out. Thanks very much. Go to court. Did you do it? Yes, we have video footage. Thanks very much. On your knees. Bang, thud. That's it, done. China, although it is a fucked up nation with a lot of problems, has a pretty good policy when it comes to dealing with drug dealers. Okay? They really, really sort that shit out. Now, I don't think that weed should be included in that because, well, you could fund the entire... The United States could solve its entire funding problem if they legalized weed in, say, California. That's it. You know, federally, they're going to legalize weed in these states. Whichever states want it. Don't have to make it for everyone. You know, just take like 2-3 states, make it a party state. And, legalize weed there. Watch the money roll in from that sucker. Holy cow. You wouldn't know what to do with the super carriers. Because everybody would be going there, buying the weed, and, you know, running around. And incidentally, I mean, you know, I'd sooner see booze banned than weed because, well, I mean, you know, it's just from... If you ever get on the street and watch very few people get high and beat their wives on weed, you know, versus people who get high or get drunk and beat their wives. You know, it happens all the time. Sick and weird. Now, moving on, we got some piracy news. Now, I may have mentioned this before, but I've got a bit of an update on this story because I finally got the lowdown here. A luxury cruise ship with 22 British tourists aboard, this is a British story, survived an attack by Somali pirates armed with rocket-propelled grenades. I didn't know this. Yesterday, as it rounded the Horn of Africa. The 10,000-ton Seabourn Spirit came under fire at about 5:30 in the morning. The pirates, who approached in 25-foot speedboats and shot at the ship with a grenade launcher and machine guns. Like, arrr! Terrified passengers watched as the pirates tried to get aboard, only to be repelled by crew members who set off what described as a loud bang. The Baja-registered ship carried a 302 passenger and crew, but there's only one casualty, and crew members suffered minor injuries from flying debris. I looked out of the window and saw a small boat with about five people about 20 yards away. Norman Fisher, 55, solicitor from Hampstead Gardens suburb in North London. One of them clearly had a rifle. Later I realized that two of them had rifles and some kind of rocket launcher. Well, rocket-propelled grenade. They were firing the rifle and then fired the rocket launcher twice. No, they didn't. What they did was they fired two different rocket launchers. I don't think you can reload an RPG. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. My bad. You can. They probably reloaded it then. One of the rockets certainly hit the ship. Well, that's handy, because if you're only 20 yards away with an RPG and you can't hit a fucking 10,000-ton seaborne spirit, you have no right to be a pirate. The rest of the pirates would make fun of you. One of the rockets certainly hit the ship. It went through the side of the liner and into the passenger's suite. A couple were in there at the time, and it was a bit of an unpleasant experience. Typical British understatement here. Yeah, a rocket came into my fucking room shot in by pirates. Bit of an unpleasant experience. Of course, they didn't die because they're only 20 yards away. I don't believe RPGs arm for something like 50 yards. Mike Rogers, a Canadian passenger, said the captain tried to run down one of the speedboats before outmaneuvering them, which I also find funny because you've got a 10,000-ton ship outmaneuvering 25-foot speedboats. Wow. You know, it's also, you know, balls to the captain who tried to run over the pirates. That's badass. The captain did not hit the alarm, fearing passengers would be shot if they dashed on deck. Good move, captain. An Irish crew member described the clash as really scary, but it added everybody's okay. The Seaborne Spirit, owned by the cruise giant Carnival, was on its way from Alexandria in Egypt to the Kenyan port of Mombasa. It offers the height of luxury with huge suites, marble bathrooms, and more than one crew member to each passenger. Cruises aboard the liner cost from £6,100 for a 16-day sail to £18,270 for an epic 46-day voyage. Jesus Christ. 40 grand for 46 days? That's like a grand a day. The liner used a sonic blaster to foil the pirates. Now, this I didn't know. This was new. Developed by Americans to forces to deter small boats from attacking warships, the non-lethal weapon sends out high-powered air vibrations that blow assailants off their feet. The equipment, about the size of a satellite dish, is rigged to the side of the ship. The waters off the Somali coast are among the most dangerous in the world. They are occasionally patrolled by combined task force, known as the CTF-150, currently under the command of the French Navy. Somalia has no recognized government since 1991, so they're in a state of anarchy, you know, which is what all these wonderful anarchists like to think. Oh, wow. I want anarchy. Somalia, sunny Somalia, is waiting for you. You're all for anarchy? Head on down. Somalia's the place for you. The beaches are always open and the women are always friendly. They're in sunny Somalia. There have been at least 23 pirate attacks off its coast this year alone. Andrew Livingston, a spokesman for the National Union of Marine Aviation and Shipping Transport Officers, describes its long coastline as a massive problem area. So, what's the solution here? Well, I put it to you that the solution here is to put some shooters on the cruise ships, and when pirates attack, you wait for them to take a few shots, and then you blow them the fuck away. Thanks for calling. And in flu hoax news, oh my god, the avian bird flu, 120, whatever, let's fucking round it up. Let's just say 200 people have died. 200 people fucking died from the avian bird flu. Oh my god! The avian bird flu. 500,000 people die every year from malaria. But it's the avian fucking bird flu. Oh, Jesus. And I'm wondering why people are wigging out about this fucking avian bird flu. Well, we know now. We know why that is. My favorite Yoda extra, Donnie Rumsfeld. As bird flu panic spreads, demands for the influenza medicine and shares of its suppliers is getting feverish. Jesus Christ. Donnie Rumsfeld is right up there with the guys who are making money on this. A year ago, Tamiflu was known, if at all, by an obscure remedy for influenza, which doctors typically treat with bed rest and chicken soup. Today, with the panic mounting over potential bird flu pandemic, it is the most sought-after drug in the world. As everyone's suburban soccer moms in the United States do, health officials in London and Taipei scramble to stockpile the pill. At the moment, it seems virtually the entire world is sick chicken alert. One dead parrot in the UK. You know, there's a whole Monty Python sketch just about that. And four dead ducks in Romania does not mean the pandemic has arrived, said William Burns, head of the pharmaceutical division of Roche, the Swiss company manufacturing Tamiflu. But the appearance in Europe of the H5N1 strain of bird flu, which has already infected 121 people in Asia. 121, Jesus Christ. 62 of them died and set off a stampede for the medicine and created a contagion of stock market speculation about Roche and the California biotech firm that first developed Tamiflu. Gilead Sciences. Despite words about Tamiflu's effectiveness, which we're not even sure if the fucking shit works, the phenomenon is a reminder of just how quickly fear can spawn greed. The potential profit windfall for drug makers seems to be growing daily, and shares of both Roche and Gilead are surging. Among the beneficiaries of run on the Tamiflu is Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, who is chairman of Gilead. Look at that shit from 1997 to 2001. And owns 5 million of the stock, which has jumped from 35 million to 47 million. Former Secretary of State George Shultz, who's on Gilead's board as well, has sold more than $7 million worth of Gilead since 2005. So these guys are like, oh, Jesus, Mr. President. Mr. President, we are afraid of the fucking bird flu. We are scared of that shit. Tee-hee, tee-hee, tee-hee. Give me a break. I don't believe in Santa Claus, Jesus, or the avian bird flu. In thought crime news, German IT outfit is banned whining. Now, this is interesting. Which, you know, I'm sorry, you are not allowed to smile. You know, no more whining from you. German IT outfit Nutzwerk Limited, Nutzwerk, has come up with the perfect solution for whining in the workplace. It's made cheerfulness a contractual obligation. What's more, manager Thomas Kuwetsch has declared that those who don't measure up to be prescribed level of joliality in the morning should stay home until they cheer up. Jesus Christ. All is well and good, but if the powers that be tried that at Vulture Center, the office would resemble a Texas ghost town with the occasional bit of tumbleweed blowing through the Osperibus reg hacks ranted and raved about their kitchen tables. Nutwerk reckons it's a runner though, and says that it was prompted by a female employee who banged on so much about just about everything that other staff began to complain about her complaining. Why didn't they just fire her? Her coach explained, "We made the ban on moaning and grumpiness work official after one female employee refused to subscribe to the company's philosophy of always smiling. Mood is an important factor in productivity, and everyone here works hard and is happy. The beatings will continue until morale improves." Now, this at first sounds like kind of a funny little story, but it is kind of a little bit frightening that these kind of things are happening because, as you can see, pretty soon they'll be starting to say that you're not happy enough, yada, yada, yada. Do they have the right to say that? Well, you know, the only rights you have are those that you can enforce, and it seems to me that no one's got the right to enforce anything. So, well, you know, I guess that's the future of our world. That's the future of the corporate world. That's the difference between the haves and the have-nots. Unless you play along with all the rules, I guess you don't make any money. Now, in booster news, scientists recently discovered anti-aging hormone called Clotho. Now, a new study shows that this protein acts by increasing the cell's ability to detoxify harmful reactive oxygen species. The research appears in the paper of the week in the November 11th issue of the Journal of Biological Chemistry and American Society of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology Journal. The Clotho gene, named after the Greek goddess who spins life thread, is associated with preventing aging in mammals. The Clotho gene product, or Clotho protein, is secreted in the blood and functions as an anti-aging hormone. A defect in Clotho gene in mice leads to the syndrome closely resembling human aging, while overexpression of the gene extends the lifespan in mice. So this is something we should definitely look at. This Clotho gene, very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. I'd be wondering what's going to happen with that, because it's always good to keep tabs on these kind of genes so we know exactly what's happening with them. Because generally, you know, I don't think that technology is going to be made available for everyone. And if it is, well, God knows how expensive that's going to be. And in Frankenfood news today, Greenpeace and the banned Terminator campaign revealed that new patents have been granted in both Canada and Europe for Terminator technology owned jointly by the U.S. Seed Corporation, Delta, and Pineland, and the United States Department of Agriculture. The patents were granted on October 11th and 5th, respectively. The move confirms that the greatest fears of farmers, indigenous peoples, and groups of social movements across the world, that the Terminator technology is once again being pushed towards commercialization. Terminator seeds are genetically engineered to turn into giant robots and begin slaughtering the indigenous population. No, that's wrong. That's a typo. Terminator seeds are genetically engineered to be sterile after the first harvest, so farmers cannot use the seeds for the next season. So that means you buy seeds, plant grows, cannot grow another plant from the seeds on that plant. That's it. You have to buy new seeds. It would force farmers to buy seed every year and concentrate even more power in the hands of major biotechnology and seed corporations. The intensive global uproar has kept the technology from being field-tested or commercialized, but companies are now pushing for acceptance. These new patents confirm that corporations are once again actively pursuing Terminator seeds, and the international ban on Terminator is urgently needed, said Lucy Charette, coordinator of the new global Ban Terminator campaign. Can't say as I disagree with her. I think that food is one of those things that, for God's sakes, you know, let the people grow their own fucking food. And in FBI news, the FBI came calling in Windsor, Connecticut this summer with a document marked for delivery by hand. On Mantinuck Avenue, across from the tennis courts, two special agents found their man. They gave George Christian a letter which warned him to tell no one ever what it said. Under the shield and stars of the FBI crest, the letter directed Christian to surrender all subscriber information, billing information, and access logs of any person who used specific Cuban computers at a library branch some distance away. Christian, who manages the digital records of 36 Connecticut libraries, said in an affidavit that he configures his systems for privacy, but vendors of the software he operates said that their database can reveal the websites their visitors browse, their email accounts they open, and the books they borrow. Christian refused to hand over those records, but his employer, Library Connection Incorporated, filed suit for the right to protest the FBI demand in public. The Washington Post established their identities, still under seal in U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, by comparing unsealed portions of the file with the public records and the information gleaned from people who had knowledge of the FBI demand. So the FBI is getting very, very Gestapo altogether. I highly advise you get in there and check the story out. It's very, very frightening to see just how much power that these people are getting. Now, some people would say, why is that bad? You know, I've got nothing to fear. I'm doing everything all right, so I'm not worried about it. Well, that's a personal call. You know, I guess if you're not doing anything wrong, I guess you don't have anything to worry about. That's one option there. Some people take that viewpoint. But sometimes people would like to think they got a little bit of breathing room, so they're not completely under the thumb of the government with every waking moment. Maybe some people like to take out books on bombs. Maybe that's like a dirty little fantasy they have. You know? I don't know. Is that bad? Should they go to jail for that shit? No. They haven't done anything. See, the difference here is the difference between thought crimes and real crimes. It's only a huge world of difference, say, between taking out a book on, cannibalism, and gathering at an annual event where thousands and thousands of dollars of damage are done and a riot immediately ensues. You see, this is where you have things like judgment and common sense. But I digress. Today's daily hack is the peer-to-peer weblog, How to Speed Up BitTorrent, thanks to Paradigm. Very, very cool link. Thank you very much. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 65 people, 11 one-time donators, 52 continuing subscribers, 2 new subscribers, for a total of 65. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-E-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by PTAI called Blackout. And I'm going to leave you now with a little something that I made up and a track by Disturbed. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
There was a time in the dawn of the human empire. The earth was plagued by war. Human had been turned against human, and the people of the holy earth were tearing their own flesh asunder. It was at this time that humanity gained knowledge of the legions beyond the known worlds using our own chaos against us. These Skag outworld invaders use treachery and deceit to sow the seeds of humanity's sabotage. It was when the light of the noble human species was almost extinguished that the great communal mind of Server realized the deception of the alien invaders. And like Prometheus, the Wogs brought the faith of conquest into being and took the war to the invaders' doorsteps in skins of steel. The Mecca, the eventual body of our race, was born. And it was good.
Help me.